Well, welcome back to another hour with Stephen Quayle. We'll take your phone calls as well. We're talking about his latest work called Terminated. The End of Man is Here. We got to fight this, that's for sure. We'll be back with Stephen. Your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Stephen Quayle. We're going to get to your calls as well as we talk about Terminated. The End of Man is Here. Are you concerned about this, Stephen? Is this a serious, serious thing?
I think it's the most serious issue, and I don't know anything that's more serious, more dangerous, more deadly, or accelerating at a speed that, quite candidly, George, most people will not be able to keep up with until they start to see the negative ramifications of this in their own life. Obviously, let's say this is an immediate scale, being replaced by robots is no fun.
No. Especially if you're the one being replaced.
Exactly. And remember, there are the captains of industry and the elite of the world who want to destroy the world's population. And look, we've done shows on that, but they want to take it down to 500 million, the Georgia Guidestones. And by the way, I got to tell you a funny story really quick. Tom Horn and I were the subject. Tom Horn, a brilliant, brilliant man, one of the best speakers, in my opinion. He's my friend, but I've listened to a lot of guys, and he's one of the best speakers, I believe, that I've ever heard in my life. And we're having this conference, okay, True Legends, Transhumanism and the Hybrid Age. It's in Branson, Missouri. Now, here's what's interesting. You know, it's coming up September 14th through the 16th. We're only 3.5 months into the new year, and we're 2/3 sold out.
That's good.
Place its seats, 3,000. So imagine there's a bunch of Oxford scholars, one in specific name and influence worldwide that has named. You're going to love this, okay? It almost sounds like Terminator the movie, and we're the good guys trying to fight against the robots. But he called Tom Horn and I the milieu, the leaders of the transhumanist resistance. I mean, we're both authors writing about the dangers of it. But evidently, he and his pals consider us a danger. And I think that's, if it wasn't so serious, I would be laughing my non-robotic seat off, okay? But it's not funny. It is the most dangerous and deadly movement that I know of. And quite candidly, there's nothing I can write about from here except, let's say, our findings. And by the way, I'm going to be a little bit mysterious and let people think about this. There's an ancient prophecy about the condor of South America meeting the eagle of North America. And I think you've done a show, and we've done so many shows, but the name America is Amaruca, and it literally means the land of the plumed serpent. It wasn't named after, Vespucci. It was Amerigo Vespucci. It was not named after him. It was named after, if you will, the Aztec, Inca, and Maya all knew both Americas as the land of the plumed serpent. So our conference in Branson is a must, and we're bringing together one of the most, and I believe, some of the smartest guys. But Hugo de Garis will be there, David Knight, and Richard Dolan. You're obviously familiar with Richard.
Oh, yeah, good guy.
And the breakaway civilizations. But what we do different on the conferences, and this is critical, we have a start, we have a finish, and we're going to have a 12-foot giant there. And why this is critical is
a 12-foot giant?
Yeah, a 12-foot giant.
A human?
Oh, no. I wish. Whoa. Listen, if I was had a 12-foot...
Oh, boy, if you had that...
Yeah, if I had that, I'd have, probably SWAT teams. No, worse than that, I'd have Delta teams with rocket launchers there. I'd feel like King Kong, having King Kong. But it is the literal size built by one of the finest anatomical sculptors in the world, the guy's named Mark Patrick, who will be there. It's absolutely astonishing. We'll also have a skull there, which you guys put on the show the last time that I was there, and people say, well, I don't believe it. What's interesting, George, is these are absolute, if you will, blueprints based on the Spanish conquistadors recording everything as Pizarro, which I'm not in favor of, conquered all the empires he conquered, and obviously Cortez, but these are eyewitness accounts, and then when you match them with the ancient history, and for the record, the Aztec, Inca, and Maya all attributed their, if you will, technology and the buildings that are built, whether they're the pyramids and whether they're the walls of Sacsayhuaman or Ollantaytambo and some of the biggest megalithic architecture in the world, they attribute that to giants, okay? So what's fascinating is that we're coming right back to the point where people have to get a feel for how tall 12 feet or 12-foot giants are, but it's more than interesting. We have, and we're going to be presenting it at Branson, Lord willing, and, you know, the Persian Gulf doesn't go up. We
That's conceivable.
Yeah. But we have eyewitness testimony. We've heard of the Smithsonian cover-up. You know, we've heard of the Egyptian cover-up, obviously all the stories about Egyptian artifacts. And I'm here to tell you that one of the most famous geologists in the world, when asked why all of the land masses in the Grand Canyon, all the buttes, etc., have Egyptian names, he told his graduate students it's because of the artifacts that were found there. So this individual was taken into this, and this is true, and we got this guy. I mean, it's not just somebody who posted something on the internet testifying as to what he was shown in the underground, if you will, repositories, kind of like the Raiders of the Lost Ark, buildings that go four stories down, 100 yards each, with 100-yard intersecting tunnels, and all the Egyptian artifacts and all the giants and stuff, and he saw it and was told about it. Now, remember, the Smithsonian was asked back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, by Egypt themselves to either return their artifacts that were found in the Americas, especially North America, to Egypt or destroy them. So there was a secret agreement, and I catalog all that, and our next DVD coming out is called The Egyptian Presence in the Americas and the Pacific Rim, The Great Smithsonian Cover-Up. We've tried, George, for probably 15 years to get someone who would come forth, and I believe it was literally a miracle from heaven that somebody, and by the way, his bona fides check out, his relationships, everything. So this is pretty fascinating because, you know, people say, oh, that's just crazy. There are people that write blogs against me that, you know, this is totally crazy. But listen, I found a 1915 newspaper ad, newspaper article that the Smithsonian and Stanford were fighting over the remains of a 15-foot giant offering huge money. So why this is critical, why is the giant issue covered up, and how does it affect the super soldier is because it rewrites history. And right now, the cover-up and cover-over of history is what the Illuminati, if you will, the global, what I would call world masters, they want to put their spin on it. So it's kind of like, if you will, a supernatural Hegelian dialectic. They control the narrative, and they control the outcome. If the truth is thrown into a controlled narrative, then people have to think. And the last thing that the people that are trying to destroy 5.5 billion people on the planet want is thinking individuals. Therefore, the zombification of the American masses and pretty much a lot of the world through television, through sound, sonic, and all of the different, if you will, reprogramming of the brains, the electromagnetic fields generated by 4G and 5G, obviously, a net, the 5G net, and the, if you will, the total encapsulation of the planet in an electronic surveillance state, that they want to know everything, they want to know what you think, they want to be able to put thoughts into your mind, they want to be able to control whoever's left alive. Now, obviously, God is declaring that isn't going to happen, but it's going to seem like up until a certain point, until he said, literally says enough, that all hell is breaking loose. And I suggest to you that all hell is breaking
loose. Sounds like end times, Stephen.
It is the end times. And it's, we're not, quote, as they say in the South, we're not fixing to get there. We are there. And again, this whole issue of transhumanism, this book, I've got to say this, this is my final futurist definition.
It may be your best job, by
Yeah, I would say this, and I would say it's a composite, new, well-researched piece, and how vaccinations play into it. And look, here's the thing. I'm not talking about just vaccines against diseases, but I'm talking about the introduction of other than human genetic material, because
I mean, already in Japan, they've got approval to mix human body parts into animals.
Right. And those are called chimeras. And, you know, all my True Legends book and series of tapes has been, it's the most, I guess you'd say, sought-after thing worldwide. And when we had our conference in Branson last year that we're having this year, we had, I think, people from, I don't know, 25 nations there. People.
That's amazing.
And George, what's interesting is that in Russia, they want to know about this stuff. In Japan, University
of Russia, they probably already hacked into your website, probably.
Oh, listen, my website is so hacked, you'd think I'm a piece of lumber with multiple
Unbelievable. Let's take some calls here for Stephen. They're lining up for you. We'll start with Juliana in Hollywood, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Juliana.
Hi, how are you this evening?
We're fine, thank you.
I wanted to ask about the stuff that they're doing with the chemtrails, and you know how he's talking about the mass destruction of the people. Is that part of it? I mean, because it seems to be so evasive everywhere. I mean, in every country.
Well, they're happening, and the big question is, what is it for? A lot of people who've been on this program say it's weather modification. What do you think, Stephen?
Well, I wrote the book Weather Wars, and as you know, William Thomas, even though he and I differ so greatly, but he gave me the credit for bringing the chemtrails. First of all, it's the aerosolization of the atmosphere. It's been going on, but what people lose track of is the genetic material, human blood cells, different, if you will, animal extracts that are also sprayed in the chemtrails. So it is not only for weather modification and geoengineering, and I believe, George, that's what we're seeing over the entire planet right now, because you and I discussed almost, I don't know, 10 years ago, what happens when all these different nations that are using technology that there's 250 U.S. patents describing, when all these signals and all the different electromagnetic waveforms and chemicals start to mix, and you couple it in with volcanic ash, and it falls out over the earth, and now we've got new record diseases. We've got, obviously, if you've got aluminum and barium being sprayed over the planet, and you see Alzheimer's and all the different Lou Gehrig's disease and Parkinson's, etc., and those are attributed in the natural to heavy metals, we're getting hit with a lot of, I would say this, deleterious chemical substances and biological substances that ultimately lead to our destruction. And most people don't know this, that there is a passage that God said he's furious with those who will destroy the earth. So are they trying to? Absolutely. Why? Because God created, number two, in my opinion, is because there is something beautiful about God's creation, and we're seeing it absolutely devastated. And the growing season is going to be affected this year, but next year is going to be dramatically dangerous, and it's going to be deadly. People are going to starve.
Kurt in Toledo, Ohio. Welcome to the program, Kurt.
Hey, hello. Hey, thank you for taking your time, and I do appreciate your program.
Thank you.
The question I'd like to ask is the contingency plan that we would like to, or what kind of contingency plan should we look forward to?
Well, I think self-sufficiency, what's been known as the prepper movement.
We're going to need a contingency plan,
Steve. We
have
to have a contingency. Listen, the enemy of men's souls always has his contingency plan, and we're up against supercomputers plotting every possible response of ours, and this is why I really have peace about one thing. So here's what everybody's got to understand. Food will be cut off from them, so they need to prep. They need to understand who's coming against them and what's coming against them. They've got to be prepared to go into a self-imposed isolation, for instance, if some new form of genetically altered biological virus is released in the earth. And when you hear, everybody that's listening to Coast to Coast tonight, that we've never seen this before, and it's unusual, it's kind of like, but it doesn't fit any of the parameters of what they're comparing it to, you know it is a genetically altered or manipulated chemical composition. So number one, you've got to know. You've got to have a place that you can isolate yourself from. You've got to have food. You've got to have water, sanitation. By the way, the best book in the world is Holly Deo's book, Dare to Prepare. It is,
and it's still poignant, too, isn't it?
Oh, it's poignant. She updates it, okay? And, you know, people can go on my website and order it, but I have a special with her book. But I got to tell you something. This is voluminous because there's so much, but you eat an elephant, and I'm not into eating elephants, but when you have to eat something large, you got to take mouthfuls. So there's so much to prepare for, and you've got to have a way to stay invisible to the masses. And unfortunately, George, most people don't understand how evil people will react when there's nothing to restrain them. So number one, I would say this, the most important thing is learning what you can learn about prepping, growing even whatever you can grow indoors, sprouting seeds, water, sunlight. I mean, there's so much involved in it, but Dare to Prepare, Holly Dale. It's on my website, stevequayle.com, under the books.
Buck in Limestone, West Virginia, Wildcard Line. Buck, first of all, how are you feeling, sir?
Oh, so, George. I'll find out more on Friday.
Well, good luck to you. We got prayers for you, Buck.
Well, thank you so much. My question is for your guest, two things. Number one, I know living here in West Virginia, I think we're at an advantage because I'm somewhat isolated and I'm somewhat self-sufficient. If I had to be, I could be. But the question I have is, how far are we, and I mean the USA, how far are we along in technology with respect to this artificial intelligence or transhumanism? I mean, are we out in front, or are the Russians out in front? Or
I think they're all in there together. What do you think, Stephen?
Well, that's true, but the people that are spending the most money are the Chinese, because one of the things that people have got to understand is that they understand, meaning the Chinese and the Russians, that whoever leads in this field ultimately controls the world. And you're dealing with almost an infinite amount of resources in the Chinese. And obviously, I think the question is a great question that the caller just asked. Sir, when I asked that question, how far into the future are they really? He said this, and I think you'll appreciate this, George, and people understand. He said 10,000 years in the past, 1,000 years in the future. You've heard people say we're 100 years ahead. Not according to a four-star general I know, and according to the off-planet, and I know this is really hard to embrace for people, but our technology is so beyond Saturn rockets. It's so beyond TR-3Bs, Tango Romeo 3 Bravos, the pyramidal shaped.
Still in the military there, Stephen.
Yeah, but here's the thing, George, that there's so much going on, especially, remember all the lies, everybody that's listening to the show, there's no water on Mars, now there's Mars life, or Mars water, there's no life on Mars, now they're talking about microbes.
Hey, they used to say there were no other planets out there, and we know there are billions of them. Stephen, we're going to come back and wrap things up with final calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, final segment with Stephen Quayle. We're talking about his latest work called Terminated, his website, stephenquayle.com. Q-U-A-Y-L-E, by the way, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and we'll get your calls in just a second. Stephen, what about the ancients? Were there ancient robots in the past?
Yes, the first one, and obviously people say, well, there's no proof of it, but the Colossus of Rhodes, which was 100 feet tall, may have been the literal Talos, or T-A-L-O-S, some people pronounce it Talos, that was placed on Earth by, quote, the fallen angels. Obviously, some people claim Zeus, but all of the titans of Greek mythology were fallen angels. All of the Olympians were their offspring, the giants, which the Bible specifically calls the mighty men of renown. And, you know, George, the DARPA, we were talking about Defense Advanced Research Projects.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine all of the robotic things that they're trying to mimic in nature, from robotic bats to insects?
Yeah, little flies with cameras on them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to share something. Jesus said that this time men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. DARPA is extremely concerned with subterranean caverns, 3D mapping them, tomographically mapping the surface, sending bats with cameras on them into some of the most inhospitable and unknown caverns. And I want to share this. I've said this before, but it's critical. A guy that lives in the world of fighting back against stuff that goes bump in the dark said, if you want to know what we deal with, Steve, look at the movie Cave and the Descent. And he said, that's nothing to what we have to deal with. Well, those are pretty terrifying movies. But it seems like there's a whole lot of concern. And by the way, you know, people probably don't realize this, but there is a prophecy in the Septuagint in Isaiah 13 talking about God sending the giants to make war against the technology. God is sending his army of giants. And this is something that is so off of most people's radar, George. And so this is the kind of stuff that people have got to be prepared for. And the genetic engineering theme is so, how do I say this? People make it sound so harmless, yet it's so nefarious. And, you know, I want people to understand that the book is available in June. It's not ready to ship, and I've got a pre-publication price. You know, it's $10 off the retail. And the conference, True Legends, for the people that can't go there, it will be sold out in the next 60 days. And then people get mad at me because they say, well, you didn't give me enough time. And I said, well, I started, you know, 3 months earlier than last year, which, by the way, sold out. When you've got Richard Dolan, Hugo de Garis, David Knight, we've got Sharon Gilbert, a molecular biologist, geneticist. We've got, obviously, one of the key people in the movement is Tom Horn. Timothy Alberino's new book will be out. And Timothy Alberino, by the way, just came back from the jungles of Peru in the highlands, and I call him Jungle Boy. When you hear his stories about the jungles of Peru and what he went through, most people don't get it. There are ancient civilizations now with people still having live sightings of blonde-haired, obviously white or fair-skinned giants that the Aztec and Inca and Maya believed were their, if you will, their creators.
Their gods, that's right.
Their gods. And Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan, all of these things. See, this is what we're trying to show people. There's a universal thread here that runs through every country of the world. So I would really encourage people to get, you know, the book. And by the way, it is, I've got to say this unequivocally, there's nothing more I know how to write about. Now, I'll obviously write about some of the stuff we're finding, and I think it's going to blow people's mind. And that's going to be revealed at Branson. They can go to Gen6, GenSix.com, Genesis 6, and register and get their tickets early. And here's the thing. It is imperative that people understand, just as the mainstream news, you remember last week or so, they were showing how 200 different television stations were broadcasting the same script. If they keep you dumb, they kill you. The smarter you get and the more knowledgeable you get away from the MSM, and you know I call them vomit brokers. Don't get mad at George for me. This is my opinion. Yeah, vomit brokers, and nobody wants to go over to somebody's house and, you know, have a plate of someone else's vomit. I'm sorry to be that graphic, but that's what we're...
Gross, Stephen, gross.
Yeah, very gross, but so is the manufactured news and the mind control mantra.
Well, we don't get that with you. You know that, and we don't get it here.
And look, I'm challenging people. Look at what's taking place. And when you and I, George, were on the radio talking about, obviously, the day David Kelly was murdered, and, you know, I sat on your show, and you and I talked, and then they covered it up, and he committed suicide, and David Kelly was the head of the Ministry of Defense, Portland down, and now we've got, supposedly, we're going to war over a not-so-clear chemical weapon. And do you know you and I spoke about that 10 years years ago. I'm just putting this into perspective. The NovaShock binary chemical, and I knew when it was claimed it was NovaShock, it was totally bogus, simply because I'm one of the guys that brought that out 10 years ago, and it's so far off anybody's radar, and because Russia developed it as a binary top-secret chemical weapon, there's no way that would have been used. So it was a setup, and somebody's working awful hard to bring World War III on, and the reason they want to do that is because according to prophecies, not just Christian prophecies, but the man of peace, the Antichrist, will come on the scene after a global war and bring, quote, peace. But it will only last for 3.5 years, and it's going to be hell on earth.
And it'll be a false peace. Dan in St. Louis, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Dan. Thanks for holding.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Steve, how you doing, buddy? I appreciate what you do and what you've been doing.
I'm very well, thank you, and thanks for calling.
I was wanting to ask about the Kandahar giant.
Remember that case Afghanistan,
yeah.
Stephen?
Yeah, I do. And there were two giants separated by a couple years. L.A. Marzulli, who's done a marvelous job on interviewing the shooter and shooters there. I know that there are people claiming the Kandahar giant was not real, and the Bagram giant that, George, I had, if you remember, the pilot.
We had the pilot on. Yep.
On your show.
Yep.
And it's hard for people to understand that there are live giants. So it's interesting. I talked to another soldier that was in basic training real quick. King David killed Goliath, he had to cut his head off. What people don't understand, there is a life force that's part angelic in these things, and the military was training these hunter-killer teams to go in and take out the giants and using grenades, you know, M203 grenade launchers to literally blow their heads off, and they were being taught to aim higher, twice as high as a normal man. And one of the guys I talked to, obviously, I said, I don't even want to know your name. Tell me. I was able to cross-reference his story, different part of Afghanistan, with the Bagram, the pilot story that was told on Coast to Coast. And literally, both those guys had independent, and I've talked to probably a half a dozen people, and people say, oh, I don't believe it. Well, I don't care what you believe. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. And these things are coming back. And I have a whole different take on gun control. I mean, I'm obviously opposed to it, but I'm not wanting to be lunch, okay, or a Steve kebab for something that, ate a special operations teams in Afghanistan. So my take on this is that these entities that will come back, if you will, regenerated and or brought out of stasis, suspended animation, I believe that's a background reason to disarm the public. And for the record, people always send me emails after your show. From the people that kill them, they have to use, and I'm sorry, but here it is. Ballistically, it's got to be solid copper because the giant's body has a different temperature and a different composition to their blood, and solid copper does something to the blood. And then
didn't know that.
Yeah, and you've got to use smoke, and here's what I didn't know. And look, I couldn't know this stuff until somebody called. And by the way, it was after one of your shows you and I did years ago that, you know, I was approached by a certain group of individuals that don't, exist, but they do exist, telling me smoke grenades, too. The reason smoke, it fouls the smelling of the giants, okay, like smoke grenades, like paintball people use and stuff. And you remember the old statement, fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman?
I remember that as a kid.
Yep, and so the smoke interferes with the olfactory sense of the giants.
I don't think we said blood, though, in those days.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. Let's take some other calls.
So I hope I've answered your question, sir. They are real reports, and the natives I'm talking about indigenous people in the Peruvian forest, the Amazon basin, and up in the mountains are absolutely. Listen, Tim Alberino went to Ocaí And we had a guy, George, after listening to me on your show, that went there, and it absolutely flipped him out. He thought he could just go up and, you know, encounter these things. And the Catholic nuns and priests said, we find cattle, live cattle, placed up at the 18 to 20-foot level, stuck in branches.
How does it get up there? Thomas in La Jolla. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. Steve, it's always a pleasure to hear your interviews. Steve, you know, I'm reminded of the Old Testament story of the walls of Jericho, in which the sons and daughters of light, you know, vocally intoned a prayer to the walls of Jericho, and the walls of Jericho fell down. And I'm also reminded that Jesus said that you could move mountains with your vocal speech. That's in Mark 11:23. It seems to me that the giants, the fallen angels, the Rephaim, the Arnold Schwarzenegger super soldiers, the cyborgs, don't have access to empowered vocal speech, empowered vocal visualization, empowered vocal intonation, or empowered vocal prayer, if you will. And I was wondering, is that the secret to overcoming the transhumanist onslaught, is the power of vocal speech, which they do not appear to have, or they do not appear to be developing?
Well, let me say this. One thing that is interesting, the giants do have a almost harpy-like ability through their nasal pharyngeal passages to create harmonics that can offset gravity, okay? Now, sound, remember, God created, God spoke the worlds into existence, and people who obviously don't believe in God can't accept that. But the giants throughout history had the ability to move and overcome gravity by the shrill nature of specific sounds. Now, going to the biblical perspective, Jesus says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so, therefore, there's a difference between what I would call book faith, yes, that's true, but practical faith. And practical faith comes with the authority of watching God's word be spoken and having it effective. When Jesus said, you know, rise up and walk to the lame man, those words had power. He told us if we even but spoke to the mountain and said, be thou removed and cast in the sea, that would happen. But the power of words, and I think this is an important point you're touching on, sir, is very critical, and people don't understand that God spoke the worlds into existence, so therefore the creative power of belief can do so much more and is powerful against especially demons, disembodied spirits, fallen angels. We're told in the Bible, you know, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Over all this evil stuff is the devil. So God said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Serpents and scorpions are what the end time is talking about, George. Genetically altered stuff that's coming back, and it's going to be beyond what I would call comic book evil, or even video game evil, and it's going to be the worst nightmare, but it's something that people don't have to fear. And that's why when people say, well, aren't you afraid? No, because I believe the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ casts out all fear. Now, I do get afraid, but when I am afraid, I do what David does. At the time I am afraid, I call on thee and I trust in thee. So, sir, I hope I've answered your question.
Steve, minute to go. Tell folks where they can go to your conference in Branson.
Okay. Yeah, they can go to GENSIX.com or just go to my website, Steve, STEVEQUALE.com. Top right-hand corner, click on it. It'll take you where you can pre-register. And then my book is available June 15th. I'm giving a $10 discount, and they can sign up for it, and we will obviously ship them the first. I think this book, George, thank you so much. I think this topic is the most pressing and most important subject, because if we don't take it seriously and deal against it, it's the end of humanity as we've known it.
Thank you, Stephen. Great job on the book and on being on the program in all these many years. I appreciate it.
Thank you, George. God bless everybody.
Stephen Quayle, his website, of course, linked up for you on coasttocoastam.com. How many times have you had a dream of some kind of warning some kind of health issue, and it came true. Up next, we're going to be talking about dreams that can save your life, early warning signs of cancer and other diseases based on your dreams. So stick around on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email me at george@coasttocoastam.com.